please welcome back to the stage director Li Xun Fan, and please welcome to the stage producer Mila Ong Nguyen. You guys have put together an incredible film. You've given us a lot to digest, so let's just start right away. Tell us about how you met the family, and then how the story of Xun, the daughter, how that came about, and how you started looking at her story arc.
I went on the first research trip to the city of Guangzhou in 2006, and the city is a big factory town. They have thousands and thousands of factories there. They make everything from toys to textile products and electronics, everything you name it. So I go into this factories and I talk to a lot of migrants. They all came from countryside across the country. And I met with the Zhangs. The mother told me upon our first meeting, she told me that they have been working in the factory for the past 16 years, and they only get to spend less than one year with their children. And that's, I was greatly saddened by that fact. And in fact, as I see the great migration happening every year, it has many layers of meaning attached to it. And I set out to look for a subject or a story which can reveal all this aspect to this phenomenon. For example, it's changing the traditional family structure, and the migration has everything to do with China's economy, and it also has an international background. The globalization is having its impact on this migrant's life. So I was looking for a family whose story can sort of tell different aspects of this. And the daughter, of course I didn't expect all this to happen in the following years, but now the daughter is 20 years of age and she's having her own life. She finds work in another province. I think for her, she made her way to the city, but not exactly in a way that the parents hoped.
So we have the story of one family, and now we go into the big enormity of it. So tell us, okay, we saw in the credits that there are two camera operators, but I don't believe you, really two? How did you shoot? And give us everything, you know, safety, how did you track them, and you can weigh in on this too, production, tell us. Okay, so tell us how you do.
Yeah, sure. I worked with a cameraman, who's also my close friend, Xiao Guang. So, like Mila said, there was only one person shooting all the time. We have only one camera. But, I mean, shooting in a crowd of hundreds of thousands of people is definitely very challenging. Logistically, there's a lot of difficulties that we were facing. For example, in that crowd, it was very dangerous. You see that shot in the film when the camera sort of got lifted by the crowd and carried away. It's like a torrent. And I remember that the cameraman was being carried to a direction and the soundman was carrying to another, and they're linked with a cable. So it's all chaotic and people were falling in front of us, and you can't just step over it, and you see people keep falling on them. Police and the army were trying to help restore the order, but it's really tough. I mean, it happened over a time of 10 days. Migrant workers from that entire province had to go to this particular train station, and hoping that they can take a train to go back, see their family at that one time of the year. It's really a chaotic thing. And it's very difficult to keep track of the family that I'm shooting. Like I said, the crowds can just take you anywhere at any moment. So we figured a way to keep together. Because cell phone doesn't work in that situation. The network was all jammed. So because the parents was always wearing a wireless mic when we were shooting, so I gave them a bunch of batteries and told them to change their batteries every 3-4 hours. And I speak to the dad and telling him that if you don't see us around, please speak to the mic and tell us where you are. And my sound man will pick up that sound, and then we will go find them. So by doing this, in the next three days while we're stuck there, we managed to lose each other, and then we find each other again until we finally bug the train.
So the sound man is more important than
the nice little sound man, folks. Okay, let's take a question right over here. How did you capture the most specific intimate moments?
Well, I probably agitated my producer by staying too long in China. I'll just joke with you. It's great. He allowed me all this creative freedom. And there's really no shortcut into this. I mean, making a documentary film, you have to put in a lot of time and your sincerity, I would say. We spend so much time with the family, and essentially we become a part of it. So we become part of the family. They took us in, and they opened up their life to us. We shot 300 hours of footage, but we spent much more time than that. We would sleep on a pile of jeans that just got made by them, and to wait till they get off the work, usually at midnight, and then start filming. So that's the kind of work you have to put in to get this intimate moment. So for the...
But specifically in some of the scenes, like having watched a lot of them, like the scene where they're in bed and they're talking about their daughter's relationship. I've had this question asked me before. How did you script that scene, or how... You know, how do you find these actors? But when you watch the whole footage, they're talking about everything, or it's like a 3-hour scene or something like that, where they're in bed lying around for hours, and Li Xin is off in the other room, you know, like some creepy guy filming them. But at the end of that the patient week, they'll talk about this staggering, important scene about their daughter, and it's like a testament to Li Xin's patience that he actually stayed with. Also, like a peasant family, like in China, it's like when we were first pitching the film, it's like, why are you filming this peasant family? You know, it's like Li Xin originally had the story, it was more balanced. You know, you had a rich guy going home for the holidays, and then people didn't quite understand in China the focusing on the peasant family and ennobling them like he did. It's quite a testament to the perseverance of the storytelling.
So, has the film been screened in China, and what has been the reaction there?
There was one screening in China in the Guangzhou Documentary Film Festival, so I took it back to show it last December. And the majority of the audience there was young people, university students, most of them are. So, it was very well received there as well. And many of the university students actually come from countryside. So I have one young boy stood up after the screening in the Q&A session telling me that he was almost crying half of the film because he came from a very similar background as he saw in the film. his sister had to go work in a factory in order to provide for the family and for him, essentially, to go have further education. And so it's really not just a singled out story, it's a story of millions.
Any more questions in the audience? Up in the balcony? Oh, right there.
Yeah,
have you shown the film to the family, and how did they respond?
So the first thing I arrived in Guangzhou, I went to the factory and I met the parents. The mom had to come back to work in the factory again, because the dad is not going to provide for the entire family by himself. So I gave them a DVD of the film. I asked them if they want to watch it right now with me, and they preferred watch by themselves, and I haven't got an update from them yet. I'm hoping that I can get that soon. But the mom told me that because she went back and she spent a good half of the year in the village with the boy, and she was very proud, actually, telling me that the boy got a number one in the class at Smashville. So she was really happy telling me that. And also for Qing, she find work in a hotel in a small city in central China, and the time we met, she was 16, and now she's 20 years of age. She's just becoming a young woman, and she's choosing her own life path. She made her way into the city, but in a different manner that her parents hoped. But still, I think she made it there in the city.
We have time for one more quick question, right over there.
What's your next project?
What's your next project?
I'm thinking about a few things, one of them being China's building, once again, the world's largest wind farm, so I'm hoping that I can see what's the possibility of make a film about that.
I'm just gonna wait for a second. We're just gonna end with one more thing. So you're now living in Montreal. Tell us about your immigrant experience and, you know.
Well, now I'm living in Montreal, but I spend most of my time traveling back and forth China and Canada. But I personally am an immigrant as well, sort of like the family of me, but only my circumstance is much better than that. I came to Canada in 2006. I actually first landed in Toronto. I lived in a basement out in Scarborough for a few months. And when I first landed, I mean, just like any immigrant experience, I guess, it's a lot of worry and anxiety that you don't know how your life is going to unfold because you just left everything that you have in your home country, and you choose to become to a new world and see how you can make it, how you'll be lucky. So I was looking for a job, and I was searching keywords like film, TV production, job, documentary, Toronto. I guess I made the right combination. So I found this film festival called Hot Docs. I had no idea about what Hot Docs was. And then it happened that that year there was a panel called Made with China. It's talking about co-production tax credits and stuff. So I figured that people who are interested in working with China or Chinese people will be there. So I went to Hot Docs, and then I met with Mila, my producer, and Daniel Cross. I still filmed from Montreal. They were, and also Yong Cham, my good friend, who made another brilliant film about China called Love the Yangtze. They were pitching that film at Hot Docs, and I popped up and I introduced myself and I said, "Do you have a job?" And they happened to need someone to go to China, help filming of the Yangtze, and tell the half.
Well, because he actually happened to be from, like, he grew up next to the dam. So he actually spoke the local dialect. That was the clincher. And he says, and I have this really great film to pitch you. And
by
I'm
the
like,
way.
But I'm like, but can you first go back to China for 2 years and work on this other film? And then and then realize your dreams maybe a few years from now. That's
so again, it takes time and patience.
Yeah. And aren't we glad? Thank you guys so much.